Everybody can have a seat. And our children could go with Mr. Eric, who's back in the back. All of our children up through the fifth graders can go to our Children of God ministry. For everybody staying here in the sanctuary, take out your Bibles. Turn with me to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 9. We're going to be hanging out on just one verse today. In fact, not even just a whole verse, a portion of one verse we're going to be looking at this morning. Before we actually get into the message today, I want to talk to you about 2019 for just a brief moment. Starting in January, we are going to be entering into a new series during our worship time each week, studying the book of 1 Corinthians. How many of you think we live in a mad world right now? Sort of crazy, right? So we've titled this series, Stop the Madness. The church in Corinth in the day was very similar to the culture that we're living on right now. Believe it or not, not a lot has changed since biblical times. Some of the things that we're going to study as we go through 1 Corinthians and we look at our culture today, the parallels are sort of crazy. And so the Apostle Paul wrote this letter to the church in Corinth basically saying, stop the madness, the craziness that's going on, and be different, church. Be different in the context of our culture that surrounds us. So starting in January, we're going to work through this whole book in 2019. And as part of that study, next year, we're going to have a little bit different for our small groups next year. Instead of meeting for 6 weeks in a row in the spring and 6 weeks in the fall, our small groups are going to meet once a month throughout all the months next year. So once in January, once in February, and so on. And you'll be studying close to what we are preaching through that month. So the small group study will be centered around the teaching and preaching that you'll get here this week. And it'll sort of be a recap, a regrouping of the things that you studied. And hopefully will refresh your memory about the chapter that was covered in that particular month. So we have 8 small groups right now. We know for sure that at least 2 more are going to form. We have confirmation of that. So we know we'll have at least 10. And I'm hoping and praying we get at least 2 more. So if you would like to volunteer to host a small group in your home, you can see Pastor Jerry or me. We'll get you signed up. We'll get you the books and the materials. We'll give you everything that you need to host. We'll even direct people to your group that are not currently plugged in. And if you're not plugged in, you can see me or Pastor Jerry. We'll get a group that works with your schedule. We literally have groups pretty much every day of the week in the evenings. So we'll find something that's close to you location-wise and also will work with your schedule. So again, volunteer. You can see me or Pastor Jerry and we'll get you signed up. This season that we're celebrating right now is called Advent. And the word Advent means coming. What we're celebrating during this season is obviously the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the one who was promised. Hopefully and expectantly, God's people back 2,000 years ago were waiting. Isaiah had promised that one was going to come who was going to be Emmanuel that we sang about earlier. And so the nation of Israel, the people of God, clung on to that promise with great hope, looking forward to the coming of the Savior. Now we know that Christ has already come, but in much the same way we have a hope. We have a hope that he is coming again and he will return to this earth one day. Secondly, during this season of Advent, we celebrate God's great love for us because we know that it is in love that God sent his Son from heaven to this messed up world that we live in. And our responsibility that God has given to us as Christians is to take God's love everywhere that we go, that we just don't keep loving each other here. That is important, church. We do love each other as a church. But we want God's love to go beyond these 4 walls. So in roughly 30 minutes, we're going to head out these doors. And God's call to you is to take God's love with us everywhere we go, especially during this Christmas season. People are so open during Christmas to receive God's love. And so you will encounter people who do not know our Lord and Savior. And you have the wonderful, wonderful privilege of talking to them about how much God loves them. And the reality is, once we truly understand in our minds and we really grasp deep in our hearts the breadth and the depth of God's love for us, we therefore can be filled with joy. The Apostle Paul said, "This is the day the Lord has made. Let's rejoice and be glad in it. Let's rejoice at knowing that God has come in our Savior, that He has saved the world from all of the sin." And so we can be different in a culture that is always glum and doom and gloom and downward looking. We can be different by our attitude, by our demeanor, by the way we reflect the joy that's in our heart, because we have God with us, Emmanuel, Jesus. And today we want to talk about God with us giving us peace. The concept of world peace is something that everyone loves. Yet it's been an elusive concept ever since the beginning of time. When Adam and Eve first sinned and took from the forbidden tree, peace has been hard to come by. As early as Genesis 4, right after the first sin, we see the first murder where Cain killed his brother Abel over a disagreement about worship. Crazy as that may sound, and ever since, peace has been missing from this world. Fighting and murder and wars and problems have pervaded the world. There are massive armies pitted against one another that have extended for even decades. During World War I, it was a brutal and very, very difficult conflict. The armies of the countries at battle in Europe were dug in deep in trenches. But the war took a brief break during Christmas. Listen to this amazing story. Early during the war, it was December of 1914, the German and the British soldiers took peace into their own hands. On Christmas Eve, they sang and played carols to each other across the no man's land that we remember reading about and studying about way back in high school. They sang song to each other. And early on Christmas Day, German soldiers walked across that no man's land. They were unarmed, and they were shouting Merry Christmas to their enemies. And the Allied soldiers were a little panicky at first, but as they could see the Germans were sincere about it, they got out of their trenches too. And they exchanged gifts, plum pudding and other things that they gave to each other. They sang Christmas carols together. In fact, there was even a documented soccer game that broke out between the two fighting armies. And so for a few brief moments on that battlefield in 1914, peace reigned because the Savior had come. Now, if you know your history, you know that that was very brief because the battle began the very next day and waged on for 3.5 more years until the end of the conflict. On a personal level, we hear all the time, "I just want some peace and quiet." How many of you have said that this season, right? I just want some peace and quiet. We go to great lengths to create peace. We go to the mountains where we can just get away from the busyness of life. No cell phones, no Wi-Fi, no cable TV, and we just find peace up there. Others of us go the other direction. We go to the beach because we find peace there. Others of us, myself included, we climb 22 feet in the air and hang in a tree for 12 hours with our little bow and stick and string, hoping for one of those elusive white-tailed creatures to come by. That's where I find peace, and I know a lot of you do as well. And there's nothing wrong with escaping the day-to-day things of the world to climb in a tree or to go to the beach or to go to the mountains. But if real peace depends upon getting away, then we're missing something. God intends for us to have peace every day. And so if we're living just to get away and escape, then we're missing an intention of what God really has for us this season. And so this morning, as I'm speaking, I want you to think about these three questions. Do I have peace with God? Do I have peace with the people around me, my spouse and my children and my family and my coworkers? And perhaps maybe even most difficult for some of us, is there peace inside of me? Do I have peace even with myself? The prophet Isaiah wrote this: a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. When Isaiah predicted that the Messiah would come, he said right here in this verse, when Emmanuel comes, he will be the Prince of Peace. This word peace is so important. You may be aware that the Old Testament of the Bible, Isaiah's prophecy, was written in the Hebrew language. And for any of you that do linguistics or have studied language at all, you know that when you take a word in one language and translate it into another language, you often lose some nuances to the word. And so it is with this word peace. The word peace is the Hebrew word shalom. And shalom has much greater meaning to a Hebrew-speaking person than the word peace does to you and me. For sure, shalom means tranquility or safety or soundness. It means lack of warfare, well-being, contentment. Perhaps the best translation of the word peace into one English word is wholeness, completeness. It's a word that's used in the Old Testament over 200 times. In fact, if you meet Hebrew-speaking people today, if you see them on the street, if you know people who speak Hebrew, their greeting to one another when they say hi to you, they're not going to say hello like we Americans do, English speaking. The first word they will say to you is shalom. When I was in Israel a couple of years ago, we met an artist, and I got an email from him this week. He is a Hebrew Christian. And he started off the email to Jacob and me saying shalom. That's their greeting, the Hebrew-speaking people. Shalom is their greeting. When a Hebrew person says shalom to you, they're praying for God's wholeness, God's wellness, God's overwhelming sense of his presence with you to come and be with you. It goes beyond how you doing, hello. It goes much more to asking, praying for, seeking the Lord's peace to come over you. In fact, peace begins with God. Peace begins with God. The judge, Gideon, knew that peace began with God. And there was a time in Israel's history where God was going to use Gideon to go into battle against their enemies and defeat them. And before Gideon went into battle, he was nervous, he was worried, he was scared. He wasn't a general, he wasn't a fighting man. He was just a simple, old, common person like you and me. And he was worried. He's going to go against the mighty Amalekites. They were a very strong army in those days. Gideon was nervous and worried and scared, and he had a lot of time alone with God to pray. And as God comes to Gideon, an overwhelming sense of God's presence came with Gideon. And Gideon made the place sacred there. He built an altar there where he worshiped. And the book of Judges records this. Gideon built the altar, and he named it Jehovah Shalom. Notice that word shalom, peace, which means the Lord is peace. In other words, when Gideon encountered God in the midst of his anxiousness and worry and fear and not feeling like he could lead the army himself, God comes and says, I'm with you, Gideon. And Gideon, sensing and knowing that God was with him, builds an altar there to worship. Friends, maybe some of us need to build a place in our home, a little altar, a little place that we can go when the stresses of paying the bills and work and all the pressures, that we can just retreat. That's what Gideon did. He had a little place where he just, this is my place of peace. Place where you set aside, where you know you're going to plan to meet the Lord there. And particularly for Gideon, it was a difficult and dark day in Israel's time. At the end of the book of Judges, it's written this: in those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. So not only was Gideon facing a mighty army, He was facing his own people who were far from God and who were just doing whatever they felt was right. Gideon wrote those words in the book of Judges from Gideon was about 3,200 years ago. Not a lot's changed in that transformation of time, has it? We could say today, in those days, in our days, in 2018, everybody does what's right in his or her eyes. Authentic peace absolutely begins with the Lord. In order to have any peace at all in this world, we first need to start with having peace with God. Moses was the leader of the nation of Israel for 40 years. And he prayed this blessing over his people in the book of Numbers. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance to you and give you his peace. It was a common benediction for the nation of Israel to say. And church, I might suggest to you that you commit these three verses to your memory. That in the times when you feel stressed out, when you're worried about what's going on, you can just recite these over in your mind. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. Lift up his countenance to you and give you his peace. And even more than for yourself, perhaps you could learn these verses. And when you see somebody who is nervous and freaking out, you can go just put your hand on their shoulder and say, brother or sister, it's going to be okay. And just speak these words of truth into their heart from the scriptures. May the Lord lift up his countenance to you and give you his shalom, his wholeness, his sense of well-being inside of you. Wholeness, wellness, being physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, relationally, and perhaps for a lot of us, most importantly, situationally. When we're in those moments where we're ready to freak out. Pray the Lord give us his peace. God showed us he wanted us to have peace with himself and that it begins with him. So he sent his son, and the Apostle Paul writes about that in Romans chapter 5, saying, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The word justified is a word that means we've been made right with God. The sin that would separate us from God has been taken away as the blood of Christ has been poured over our sin and blotted out so that it is no longer a separation or a barrier between us and God. And so our sin has been taken away. We've been made right with God, and therefore we have peace with him because of what Jesus did in his coming to us. And not only his coming to us, but when he went to the cross where he would shed his blood and sacrifice his body willingly on the cross. Therefore, we can have peace with God. I talk to people all the time who seem to have no peace with God. And they'll say to me, Pastor, you just don't understand. If you knew what I did, God can never forgive me. God can never welcome me. God can never look on me with favor. And I just simply say to them, you're no different than everybody that sits in these pews. Some of us are just a little bit better at hiding our sins than the rest. Some people's sins are a little more out in the open. And so people come and sit in my office with no peace because they realize they've blown it, they've messed up. And God says, that's why I sent my son this season. I sent my son to wash this away from you, to forgive you, so that you can have peace with me. And so we don't have to worry about what we did or this thing we're doing now. We confess it to God. It's done. And that scripture that I read earlier during our prayer time, times of refreshing come. That's the peace that we're talking about. Because we realize that it's taken care of. That's what Jesus did for us in his love. And therefore, we can have peace with God. The Hebrew concept of peace is not only to have peace with God, we also have peace with one another. The shalom of God means that because we have peace with God, that peace extends to others around us. The Apostle Paul wrote about that in Romans 14, saying, "Pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another." And so when we have peace with God, when the peace that God has comes and descends upon us and we feel refreshed over the forgiving of our sins, we then can extend God's peace to those around us by showing them that we've made peace with God and we can come alongside of them and have peace as well with them. Paul also wrote about this in Ephesians chapter 2, saying, "He himself," that's Jesus Christ, "he is our peace, who made both groups," he's talking about the Jews and the Gentiles, "who were racially opposed to one another." There was racial hatred between the Jews and the Gentiles. And Paul's saying here, he's our peace. He's made the Jews and the Gentiles into one. He's broken down the barrier, the dividing wall, by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of the commandments contained in ordinances, so that he himself might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace. And so there can be people around you that have hurt you in real difficult ways. And you can make peace with them because of what Jesus Christ has done. He has broken down that barrier so that there doesn't need to be enmity and hatred and fighting toward each other like the Jews and the Gentiles had. He himself is our peace, Paul says. And we can therefore live in harmony with our brothers and sisters, regardless of who they are, regardless of our differences, Democrats, Republicans, doesn't matter. We're all under Christ. And so we can have peace with one another. And the third concept of the Hebrew word shalom is that we can have peace with ourselves. Our Lord Jesus said this on the last night that he was with his disciples, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Do not let your heart be troubled, and do not be afraid." Just this week, actor Pete Davidson, some of you younger folks may know him. He's one of the actors on Saturday Night Live, very popular comedian. But on his Instagram post, he said this, I quote, "I'm not sure how much longer I'm going to be around. I don't want to be on this earth anymore." Pete here was showing his lack of peace inside by his online post. I don't know Pete Davidson, never met him. I only heard about him this week because he made the news when he was threatening to hurt himself. I do know this, there are many like Pete Davidson around our country. People who don't like themselves, people who don't like their lives. They're not happy with the direction they're headed in. And they're in a dark, dark place. And so, friends, the answer to the lack of peace that people have in themselves is Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Jesus said, "These things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation," or troubles, some translations say, "but take courage, I have overcome the world." And so in the midst of the political turmoil around us, the confusion, the hatred, the anger, the arrogant pride, we find our Lord Jesus coming from heaven to bring peace to us, peace inside of ourselves. Time and again, we read through the gospel accounts of Jesus' life and we see he was at peace. There's one time when he's with his disciples in a boat out on the Sea of Galilee, and these are hardy fishermen. These are men who made their living on the sea, who had endured countless thunderstorms and violent storms on the sea. And another storm comes up and they're in the boat and Jesus is sleeping, of all things, amidst a violent storm. Jesus is at peace, and the disciples shake him. It's like, Lord, we're going to die. And Jesus is at peace. He wakes up and he calms the storm. On another occasion, there's thousands of hungry people around him who haven't eaten all day and they're starving. And his disciples are freaking out, saying, send them away. What are we going to do with these great crowd? And Jesus says, you feed them. And he provided a great meal with just 5 loaves and 2 fishes. In fact, if you study Jesus' life at all, and I've spent a lot of time looking at this, he was never in a hurry. He was never scared. He was never in a panic, ever, not one time. Not once. Why? Because he was at peace. Jesus had peace, knowing that everything was in God's control. And he says here that you're going to have trouble in this world, but take heart. I've overcome, and in me, you can have peace. Let's look again at words from the prophet Isaiah, who said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. Isaiah wasn't talking about himself here. He was looking forward again. He was predicting the Prince of Peace who was going to come. And here's what the Prince of Peace would do when he came to his people. In fact, Jesus told us that he fulfilled these words because he spoke them in a message and said, Isaiah was looking forward to me. And today, Jesus said, these words are fulfilled in your hearing. Jesus alone is our peace. We're not going to find peace in a new vacation home. We're not going to find peace in a new vehicle. We're not going to find peace in a new bedroom suit. We're not going to find peace in a vacation, as wonderful as all of those things might be. Sure, those things bring a few moments of fun and escape from the pressures, but they can't give you real lasting peace, because peace, real peace, lasting peace, the shalom of God, comes one and only one way, because Jesus, he's our peace, because he makes us right with God. And so in the past, as I mentioned earlier, doesn't matter what we've done in the past. Jesus said, that's why I've come, friend. I came to provide forgiveness of your sins. All you need to do is confess them to him, and they're gone. And so we don't have to be worried about, oh my gosh, look what I did. God says, I know. Confess it to me. It's forgiven in that moment. Peace of God comes to us in giving his presence for daily living. And a lot of us are dealing with really difficult stuff. We have pressures at work, pressures at home, pressures in our community. And they don't go away just because Jesus is your Savior. But you can be different because the Prince of Peace is ruling on your heart, and he gives you the ability to persevere through that. He gives you the peace to just, I know I'm going to get through these next 5 minutes, this next hour, this next day, this next week. He's going to give you the grace for every moment as you work through it. And God gives us peace most assuredly that one day all the troubles and tribulations of this world will be over. One day he is going to come again. Scriptures teach us that he's going to appear in the air. And then he's going to descend to this earth. And he's going to establish a kingdom on this earth where he will reign and rule. And then there will be real peace. In his second advent, Isaiah tells us in chapter 11, the wolf and the lamb will lay down together. There'll be no more world wars. His presence with us will be continual. And because he's on the throne, because the Prince of Peace is reigning and ruling first in our hearts and reigning and ruling as the king here on earth, he will make a difference. So seek peace today with God. If you're not at peace with your spouse, with your children, grandchildren, coworkers, May today's message of God, what Jesus does in your heart to bring peace and reconciliation, may that really speak to you. You have peace with God, with each other, and inside of yourself. One of the reasons that we want to study 1 Corinthians next year is we want to be different in this culture, in this community. We can make a difference, church. We can't change the whole world for sure. We can't change Washington ourselves. But we can make a difference right here in our community by being what's different in this culture. And just confession time, I don't always live this either myself every day. Tuesday was a day for me that I'd rather forget. It started off by locking my keys in the truck. Continued when we had a vendor here doing some work with our video projectors and they set off the fire alarm and the fire chief is walking into the lobby as we're trying to disconnect it. And I was further ahead when I started out in bed that morning, and bam, by 2 o'clock I was just had allowed the day's events to just overwhelm me. And I don't get it perfectly all the time either. But by the end of the day, I stopped myself and said, Tom, none of this stuff matters. 3 A's came and opened my truck, and we turned off the security alarm, and I thanked the fire chief for coming and got through every situation. Another lesson for Tom. Don't freak out all the time, right? So I'm not just preaching to you. I'm preaching at myself this morning. So I didn't have peace with myself Tuesday afternoon. You can ask my wife. Secondly, pray for God's peace to transcend our nation. The book of Psalms is a call to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Now, in context, that would be like us saying, pray for the peace of Washington. And boy, do we need peace in Washington right now, right? Amidst this government shutdown and fighting over a wall and funding and all that hullabaloo and junk. Man, pray for the peace in Washington. Seems like our nation is just being ripped apart. And finally, have you given your life to the Prince of Peace? Paul wrote in the book of Colossians, it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness of to dwell in him in Jesus Christ. And through his Son, through Christ, to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. God came so that you can have peace with him. And if you don't have peace today, friends, then trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior. Allow his presence to come into your heart. Ask him to forgive you of all your sins, past and present. Trust him with your life that the Prince of Peace would live in your heart. And then every day, every week, every month, every year, you would live in peace. And not that you won't have days like I had on Tuesday. We all have those times. Get centered back right away. And get back to letting the peace of Christ rule in your heart. So if you've never given your life to the Prince of Peace, do it today. And please see me or Pastor Jerry after service if you do that. We'd love to pray with you and give you some things to help you in your faith walk with Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father God, thank you that you sent your Son, the Prince of Peace, for us. God, we celebrate his advent, his coming this season. And we look joyfully, we look hopefully, we look expectantly toward his return one day. Until then, Father, we want to live as if the Prince of Peace is ruling in our hearts. God, we pray that we would make a difference in this world. So God, some of us are freaking out over bills and problems and diseases and relationships. And Lord, I would pray that each of us cannot freak out over those things anymore. But to look at each situation differently through you, through the lens of your eyes, through the lens of your love, through the Son, Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, come to be with us. Lord, I pray for any that you're tugging at their hearts this morning who've not made you the Lord of their lives, that they would do that today and trust in you and believe in you and receive from you true peace that lasts this life, is going to last forever, eternally, in your kingdom in heaven. Now, Father God, we pray that you hear our prayers as our elder Jeff Miller comes to lift up those prayers of intercession just now.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Emmanuel, that you are with us here today. And Lord, that you give us love, joy, and peace, and it's a lasting one, Lord. We thank you for that. And Lord, we thank you for the event where your son Jesus was born and was able to be here with us in human form and of his mighty teachings. We just thank you for that. Our Lord and Savior, thank you. Dear Heavenly Father, we give praises for Sue Quisenberry's sister, Vonnie Gable. Her hip surgery went well and she's feeling much better. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we give you another praise. Little Finley, Diana Bryan's granddaughter, is home and feeling better from the hospital. We thank you. Father, we pray for Jody Baker with the healing of this time of year, the loss of her husband. Lord, just as we have learned the peace of understanding and a lasting peace to help fill that void. And Lord, we know that there's others too that are hurting in that area. We just really, if we can just touch out and let them know how much we love and care for them as well. Lord, we pray for those that have to work over this event with Christmas. During that time of employment, during that time of their service duties that are helping protect our country, Lord, we just ask that you be with those individuals and be with their family members at that time as well. And Lord, we pray for the pregnant ladies. Lord, we just ask that you be with them and that infant in their womb. And we know that you know every hair on their head and the plan that you have for those infants. And we just pray for a mighty protection over both. Heavenly Father, we pray for Roger and Betts, Lord, for their physical needs. You know that they're being challenged right now. We just ask your mighty healing upon them. And Lord, we pray for Ron that his body will be accepting the bone marrow transplant, Lord. And we're just so thankful for the doctors and nurses that are there and caring. But Lord, that they can get to know you as well through this, that you are the mighty healer. And Lord, just as Tom was sharing, we do pray for the brothers and sisters in China, Lord, through the struggles, but they're taking a stand, Lord, on you. And those who are also being martyred in other areas as well, they're standing on that solid rock of you, Lord. We just ask a special protection around them. And Lord, right now we just have a silent meditation for the prayers that weren't written down. And now, Lord, if there's somebody out there today that doesn't have that peace of knowing you, we just ask the Holy Spirit will touch their heart and that individual can have a peace in you and put all them burdens away and find the joy and love that you have for each and every one of us. And now, Lord, we just want to give you the honor and glory forever and ever. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, Amen.